The following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It is being offered as non-copyright material, so please feel free to share it with others.
Praise you, Jesus. Where do you want to start? This is one of those days you can just pick a place because it's here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, open in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we know it's your intention by the Holy Spirit to lead us into all the truth. We know, Father, that it's in your intention by the Holy Spirit to show us things to come. We know, Father, it's your intention by the Holy Spirit to show us and remind us of things that you've said to us. So, Father, we align ourselves with the work of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of the Word. And we thank you, Father, that you have never failed to do what you said your Word would do. You watch over your Word to perform it, Father. And so we sit back and say, bring on what you said in your Word, for you've never failed. In Jesus' name. Amen. I am exceedingly excited to begin preaching again on provision-based living, part two. I have in my heart and in my spirit, in all honesty, that this message will transform the world. I know it sounds arrogant. I know it sounds big. But I want to tell you something. There are so many people waiting for God to do something while He's already done it. There are people whose prayer life is full of asking God to do things He already did. Full of a begging for the anointing when God already promised and provided. I will remind you that out on the table is part one. Four lessons. If I didn't tell Jeremy this, I thought it out loud in my own head to keep that series out there so that people can go back and review. But I want to review just a couple of things that I want you to always bring forward, because today we're going to talk about process understanding. What I mean by that is we're going to talk about why it works. Okay? You need some whys every once in a while. And I think some of you are going to get your wheels spun today because you're going to realize kind of where you are in this process. So let me define for you again the basis of most church activity today is something that I've labeled need-based living. Need-based living is defined simply by living in a state that requires supply. Living in a state that requires supply. If your prayer life, if your position in life says, God, you've got to bring this stuff to me, then you are a need-based liver. If you are in a church that doesn't understand that God's already done it, you're living in a need-based church. See, you understand that if you're living in a need-based church, it's all about personalities. I'll let it cook for just a second. Some of you are looking at me going, "What? What do you mean?" Because you think we need to bring in somebody who's known for healing. You think we need to bring somebody in who's known for their prophetic thing or whatever. Or we need to bring somebody in who has a special message. I'm telling you, the special people are in the church. That kind of got a double meaning, doesn't it? I didn't realize I got... You all are special. Do you understand that it's already here? Now, it doesn't mean we don't need to bring people in. We're going to bring people in. We're going to do that. But dear God, do you understand that God doesn't change just because you bring somebody in? Well, amen. Living in a state that requires supply. I need, I need, I need. And I just want you to understand something. When you remove need from your vocabulary, you will remove impossible from it as well. And I just want to tell you something. Since God said impossible things are only impossible to man and possible to me, God, when you remove impossible, you will start operating in what He designed you to operate in. It'll be thrilling. It'll be thrilling. You know, it's been a lot of years since the anointing of God's been on me as much to where I'd gotten used to certain levels of anointing in my life. And so I was able just to stand all. It used to be that, man, I'm telling you what, there was times where I'd walk like a drunk person because you understand, your flesh just isn't always designed to stay under that overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. If you think of it that way, think of the shadow falling on you and how that affects you out in the world in natural ways. Well, just think of that shadow as the shadow of God. It's different. So you're not always designed to do that. And if you were watching, you may have noticed that a couple of these people up front here, they had a little trouble standing up as well. I just want to clarify because it just came up in me. I'm not opposed to people being slain in the Spirit. I'm really not. But listen first. It doesn't do any good for you to fall on the floor. I'm not picking on who was I praying for is having such a hard time. LaWayne Swanson was having a real hard time standing up. And I said, stay with me. Listen first. If God showed up to talk to you, you wouldn't lay down and take a nap. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Hallelujah. Did I tell you where to go? Okay, good. Good. 33 then. I didn't identify provision-based living. So let me do this and so that I don't get off. Need-based living, living in a state that requires supply. I need, I need, I need. Provision-based living is living in a state recognizing that measures taken beforehand have been taken for future demand, meaning that what happened yesterday was done by God for you today, or 6 months ago, or whatever. He never left you, and He will never leave you in a position of need. He said, I will never leave you, nor... That means you're never going to be on your own. I know some of you said, oh yes, I have. No, you haven't. You have never been. See, the Bible says that the Lord knows our needs before we ask Him. If He knows our needs, what did He do? He provided for them. He met them. Have you ever known one of your children to be in significant need, and you looked at them and you said, well, too bad, I don't have anything for you. No. You provide for them. It is purely natural for you to desire to do that. And ask yourself this question, where'd you get the desire? Let me twist this scripture for you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Most of you think that means He'll give you what you want. No, He gave you the desire. Your desire to take care of your children comes from Him. Your desire to see the greatness of your God manifested in the world you live in came from Him. You can't make that stuff up. I know some of you think you can. Sing the right songs. Stand on your head. I remember somebody in a service that I was in saying that this person who was suicidal gave a testimony. I always wonder why we let those people talk, but never mind. Sorry. She was suicidal, or he was, I don't remember, it doesn't make any difference. And the story goes something like this: God, if you're real, would you please have somebody stand on their head in the convenience store so I'll know you're real? She went into the next, this happened on I-80 in Nebraska, went into the next store that she stopped at, and in the corner was the sales representative standing on his head. Now I just want to tell you something. In a story that stupid, isn't God awesome? I mean, who would even think to ask God for something like that? Well, if you're real, have somebody stand on their head. I will tell you that that guy who stood on his head, who remains nameless, I don't have any clue who that is, had to hear God's voice and think, this is the craziest thing, but just in case, I'm going to stand on my head. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's just crazy. And see, we get all like spiritual, like goosebumpy spiritual. We've got to have this really big religious thing that's got to happen. I'm telling you, if God can think that kind of stuff up, He can handle whatever it is you think you need. Because I have never asked for God. By the way, if you want to ask God, and don't do this because now I'm giving it to you and it won't really be from your heart, but if you want to ask God about His reality, I'd just double dog dare you to figure up something better than a guy standing on his head. See, I'm thinking of it this way. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God, if you're real, and some of you have done this, this is why I'm going to say this, would you please allow me to find a sack of money in the ditch on the way home? Because some of you prosperity people have actually seen those sacks alongside the road and thought, should I stop and see if this is the day? Some of you faith and prosperity people have actually gone to your mailbox on a regular basis looking for the check you've been begging God for. Look up here like you're so super spiritual. He provided for you. And then to have somebody stand on their head, dear Lord. So can I just tell you something? God speaks to us, prepares it beforehand in a way that we will listen. Mark chapter 4, look at the 33rd verse where it says, and with many such parables He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. God speaks in such a way that you can hear it. How many ever had one of your kids come home after service? They'll be sitting there, and then pretty soon, you didn't think they were paying attention, not even a little bit, to the church service. And pretty soon, they'll blossom out with something they heard. And you thought, well, they weren't even listening. They weren't even listening. I remember way back when Tracy and I didn't quite have it figured out that God wanted to provide for us financially. And so much of our mealtime prayer was spent thanking Him for the food and begging Him for the supply. Okay? I know some of you will get this. And my oldest son looked at me. He was, I don't know, 5, 6 years old. He looked at me and he says, well, Dad, why don't we just ask God for some more money? Where do you suppose he got that? It couldn't be the fact that for 27 years I preached on finances and he heard some of it. I mean, he's like 6 years old. He goes, well, let's just ask God. Did you know a 6-year-old doesn't know the difference between $5 and $50,000? That's some good faith right there. Just in case you need that. Do you know 6-year-olds, many of them still think they can fly? Come on. Why do you suppose God wired them that way? Why do you suppose God gave our children such interesting bits and pieces of curiosity? I just find it interesting to consider. I have a theory about why it's there. That's how they discover what God's put in them and what it's supposed to look like, by being curious about it. See, they know they can't fly deep down inside, but they know they're destined for something bigger. Right? They know they can't do some of these things, but they know somewhere in here something lives that is so much bigger than them. And so they try in their best way to express it. And they say, you know, well, I can fly. How many of you have a child that can do anything? They will tell you that. I can do that. Where did they get it? And here's a better question for all you educated folks. Why is it you keep trying to educate it out of them? If God made, wouldn't this world be different if you went to church with people that thought everything was possible? I mean, they kind of acted like a six-year-old. Jerry Thurston had a stroke. So? Well, let's just pray God heals him. Well, now there's a novel idea. I mean, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not living there yet because I've educated myself right out of it too. Well, amen. They were able to hear it. Keep your finger in Mark chapter 4 because we're going to come back here, but look at John chapter 16. How much time are you going to give me today? All day? I got the cheering section right here, and now Karen is here too. You people are in trouble. Can you look at the 12th verse of John chapter 16? It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Can you remember that God speaks to us in a way in which we'll listen? He's aware of that. You came to service today. God was thinking of you, and now He's putting things in a language, in a way, in an understanding that you can grab. Man, God is great. You don't need somebody to stand on their head in the corner. In my world, and this is, sorry, I just still have a little bit of kind of residue on me, and so some things just tickle me. But God sent you me. Sorry, I cracked myself up right there because it's just so funny to me. You know why it's funny to me? Anybody want me to explain this to you? Because I know what me is like. That's why it's funny to me. I know what me is like. God still chose me. God still chooses to use me. What a laugher. I'm a long ways from the sharpest tool in this shed. Some of you are so smart. You know Scripture, praise God. But isn't it interesting that the anointing of God falls on people and smart people will say, I can tell you're uneducated and untrained, but you've been with Jesus. I like that. Mark chapter 4, look at the 24th verse. He then said to him, take heed what you hear. Can I give you a little bit of this in just this provision-based thing? That if you're not careful with what you hear, in fact, Luke chapter 8, verse 18 says, be careful how you hear. So there's a content and an attitude. If you leave here today with an attitude in your hearing, you will disqualify what I've said because you have an attitude towards God doing those kinds of things. So be careful how you hear it. And be careful what you hear. Now, in church service, you're kind of okay, but dear God, some of you are going to go home and turn on the lie box. And it will lie to you. Turn it on this afternoon and then turn it to your favorite news program, and I'll guarantee you if you listen carefully, you'll find out that it's not possible for you to survive the terrible things that are going to happen in this world. Your finances are going in the toilet. It's terrible. People are dying of unknown diseases. People are stealing little kids away from their mom and dad. Oh, it's a terrible world we live in. It's not a terrible world that I live in. Be careful. Have a content filter. Have an attitude filter. And then turn with me, if you will, to the book of Philippians. I'm still trying to review so I can get you into the process of this. Philippians, please, chapter 4. Look at this. Begin reading with me in the 8th verse and following. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any praise, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on, rumble around in your head, mumble with your mouth on these things. And then the things which you've learned and received, heard and saw, do these things. Isn't it interesting That we're surprised about what's happening in our world when we look at this scripture? But I will tell you the reason that you're seeing it is what they've seen, what they've heard, what they've seen in others, that's what they're doing. It would be way easier if the first, pick your sin, the first person who sinned, if we just lined them up and shot them. Boom, you're dead. Some of you, after the first two or three, would begin to think twice about whether or not you would participate in that. It would have an impact on you. But you see, what we've done, and by the way, I don't actually think we should do that, so wherever Chad is, please don't arrest me. I don't want to be contributing to the delinquency of you minors here. But wouldn't it be interesting if people who are already watching us would just do what we did? Some of you are already going, no, that wouldn't be all that interesting, as a matter of fact. Because actually, I came to church on this Sunday to prove to everyone else that I'm really religious, but tomorrow I'm going to live like the devil, just like I always do. Always gets real quiet when you say things like that. Isn't it interesting, instead of limiting God by telling Him what our need is, if we'd think on these things, we'd be turning God loose in our life to be more than we could ever dare to think, ever imagine to ask, because He's already done those things. Look down, if you would, please, verse number 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, and some of you kids will probably recognize this because I told you what the word was. Who remembers the word? Nobody. All the kids are gone. Oh, Lego. Somebody, mom back here. It's Lego. I love Legos. I have a new sense of appreciation for Legos today because of this passage. See, Legos are what you use. You ever had your kid? I just love to watch kids build with Legos. They will put these things together, and then they will so proudly bring it to you and say, see what I made? Now, in a perfect spiritual world, you'll get it by the Spirit of God what it is that they made. Because to them, it's real. They created a story. Now, my grandson, my three-year-old grandson, I don't know why, but he's evidently wired like me. He always makes a helicopter. Make a helicopter. Brings it to me. So I got it now, and he brings me something from the Lego box. Wow, that's a great helicopter. Right? Why? That's what he built. He built a life story based on those Legos. That's this word. Not that I speak. Not that I build my life story by telling you what I need. For I have learned in whatever state I'm in. Now, what does he mean by whatever state I'm in? Well, occasionally, even though you understand that God has provided, occasionally you are in a state where you're wondering about it. Okay? So whatever state I'm in, you're going, well, I've heard Him tell me this. I know it's true, but right now, I don't always see it. So when He's saying, whatever state you're in, He said, I've learned to both be full and be hungry, both to abound and suffer. But then verse 13 comes in. Makes it on all the plaques. But a good portion of the Christian world has done nothing more than bought the plaque. I can do all things. Actually, if you were writing the Bible, you would say something like this: I can do the things that I think I can do. The rest of the stuff is impossible, and I need God to do those. That's the plaque we ought to put on our wall. I can do these things, but I can't do these things, so I need God to do them. God already did them. That's why you can say I can do all things. Keep reading. Notice in verse number 16, even in Thessalonica you sent aid. He's talking to them. But look what Paul said here in this 17th verse. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. See, he understood that in the midst of this provision-based living that God had given to the people of Philippi, and he had given to them because he was thinking of Paul. Okay, I'll say it to you again. the reason that Paul was able to receive, okay, when he was in Thessalonica, the reason he was able to think is because God thought of Paul and told the Philippians. And the Philippians sent a gift. Why? Because God was thinking of Paul. The provision, see, you guys are just looking at me like I just got off the boat. The provision that you need, God began to speak about it to other people in other circumstances a long time ago. And it's on its way to you. So here's a novel idea. Why not thank God for what He's already put in motion? Why not move the amazement from when it finally gets here to before you ever need it? I like that way better. Why not live your life in amazement at what God has already provided? I didn't say you necessarily had it. See, some of you people are so physically demanding that because you don't have it, you don't think it exists. I can let it cook for a while. I know, see, the anointing's hard on me too. Some of you have been under the anointing and you're just sitting there going. I heard a preacher the other day say that he was going to get one of those helmet cams so that he could take a picture of your face when he talked, because some of you people are way funny. I'm the only one who gets to see it, but some of you, you know, I just like to. And then I want to have control of it. I want to zoom right in, you know. Do you understand that since God put it all in motion, why not be amazed today at what tomorrow has? It'll make you happy. It'll make you silly. People will wonder about you. And by the way, they already do. But I have all. See, you ought to underline that. Look what Paul said. He said, I have all and abound. Well, why? Because, see, he's building a story out of the Lego word. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent. A sweet-smelling aroma. An acceptable... So where do you think this stuff up? I think Paul was saying, oh God, I know that you have a sweet-smelling aroma. It's on its way to me. Hallelujah. You've already provided a great sacrifice. Hallelujah. I know you put that in motion. His amazement was in his today. Okay. I'm going to hold my hand up when you should, amen. Okay. Many of you are hoping God will walk with you through your future, when in reality, He only walks through you, walks with you in your present. Today. You say, I want Him to be there. He will, but He's going to do it one day at a time. Well, I want Him to be in the future. Well, what you really want Him to do is in the future put the pot of gold. No, He put the pot of gold in your past, and He called it Jesus. You get it. See, raise my hand. You say amen at the appropriate time. I know some of you are going, huh? Some of you had that face, by the way. By the way, the women of this church are way better at making cool faces than the men. Okay? Occasionally, some of you are just out there. Men, when they don't get something, or when they do get something, they frown. Women, let me tell you, women will cock their head like a dog, you know. Their mouths will fall open. They'll even mouth the words because they're hearing them from God. I love it when that happens. Sorry. Indeed, I have all. Let this be your prayer, your understanding. I abound. I'm full. Then verse 19, another plaque one. My God shall supply all your need. I just wished that He would have said, our God, would supply all of our needs. But he was praying for others. And the reason he was praying for others is because he didn't have any needs. He already said he had all. He already said it. Why does this work? How does it work? Can I show you this little passage in the Old Testament and ask you some trick questions? Look with me, if you will, at Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, I'm going to ask you, just like in school, and I want you to shout out the answer. Look at the first verse of chapter 37 and get ready. I'm going to ask you a question, shout out the answer. Then the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. What did God provide? Wrong. I told you, they were trick questions. See, you think that because you can see it, it's what He provided. You understand that if you can see it, it's not everything that He's provided. How many of you can see your faith? Anybody? No, you can see your faith manifested in things, but you can't see your faith. Look down verse number 10. So I prophesied as He commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet in exceeding great army. What did God provide? The army! Hallelujah! You get a gold star. Was that you? Okay, way to go, Jeremy. We'll take care of that tomorrow. You get a gold star. Okay, verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. What did God provide? An exceedingly great army. Okay, good. I know, because some of you are going, no, see, He said bones here. Well, I'm going to read you the in-between part. And I'm going to show you the process, and then we're going to go home. Okay? I want you to get the process. If you don't get... How many of you have ever been in a schoolroom where they had the skeleton hanging there? Like the real human skeleton? I've actually seen one that's made out of real bones. That's kind of sick and cool at the same time, because it's really a dead person hanging there, held together with wire. Let me ask you this question. How many of you think those bones can walk? Be careful. It's another trick question. Something else has to be with the bones. Okay, good. Keep reading. Then He caused me to pass by them all and around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. The point is, all kinds of bones. By the way, after I'd written this, I walked out back to I don't remember what I was doing, but Mike was out there doing work, and Randy was out there or something like that, and I walked out there, and guess what I stepped on? A bone. A very dry bone. It cracked. It's right outside the back door, about 10 feet towards that little shed. Go out there, it's like a chicken bone or something. When I stepped on it, it broke. I'll tell you, I never once thought, oh, well, here's some bones, it can live. You know, with this bone, I can make a chicken. It never entered my mind, let's make a chicken. It looked like the thigh bone of a chicken. Made me hungry. Let's make a chicken. Never entered my mind. See, you're all laughing at me like I'm trying to... Okay, get ready to say amen. If you don't see what God is providing, you'll miss what He's providing. I know that's pretty... Right? And so when I saw the chicken bone, I thought, oh, that's, praise God, that's good. God's going to make a chicken. No. I was trying to get it. But what God's going to do with the dry bones of the Spirit is make an exceedingly great army. Only there's a process that takes place. And He said to me in verse number 3, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, the answer is no. The bone can't live. Sorry. Now, he's being gracious to God here, but we're talking about a graveyard full of bones here, and they're exceedingly dry. And the answer is, no, they can't live. And he says, oh, only, you see, his, he should have been a politician. Oh, Lord God, you know. Isn't it funny? When God asks us about stuff, and what he's really trying to do is to get us to confess what he's already provided, what we say is something that sounds religious. Has God provided for you? Well, I'm praying that way. If the church would stop being foolish and tell, and see, if God asks you if he's provided for you and you tell him you're praying, he might already have known that. He's been listening, and in some cases the Bible says he winks at ignorance. Some of y'all prayer, he has had his eyes closed. Well, amen. I'm sorry that I'm being hard on you today. But if you do not understand this, you won't realize where you are in the process, and you'll get real frustrated. So I answered, oh Lord God, you know. If he had just read seven verses, he'd have said, yes, Lord, an exceedingly great army lives in these bones. Because I know, isn't it interesting that God provides us by what he says with what his will is? You don't have to ask God for that stuff. He's already told you he'll give it to you. Get the CD, this will make better sense, I'm sure. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Now who knows what prophesy means? Speak the word. Speak what God says. Speak what God says. Speak to these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. I will just tell you that very few of you in here have ever prophesied to yourself about what God has already provided you with. You've begged him for it. But you've not prophesied the existence of what he's promised to give you. Thus saith the Lord God, these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Isn't that interesting? If he puts breath in these bones in their present condition and position, it won't work. Many dry bones. We need some other stuff to happen. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. What was he trying to create? An exceeding great army that we could then say, look what God has done. Look at verse number 7. So I prophesied as I commanded. Now this is when it starts happening. Now here's the process. When you realize what God has provided, an exceeding great army, you begin to speak what he said. So for an example, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That means he's not going to stop thinking about us, and he'll never leave us alone, and he'll always give us what his word says. So we start to prophesy that to ourselves. Oh, Lord God, I just prophesy today, thus saith the Lord. And then we tell ourselves and our spirit man and the spirit world what exists that God has already done. You will never have to cast the devil out of this deal. Come on, prayers. A whole bunch of you actually believe the devil's the biggest problem you got. I'm casting him out. I'm telling him to take a hike. If you'll just say what God said's already done, you can tell the devil by your actions that he's not welcome. Hallelujah. Verse 7, I prophesied, and there was what? What happened first? Why don't we have the exceeding great army? Because the first thing that happens is noise. If all of you began to talk all at once right now, or let's say that all of you have a piece of hard candy in your purse, and you got it out right now and started unwrapping it, you know that noise that it makes? And all this noise, it could overshadow what else is going on, couldn't it? Right? So what happens first is there's a noise. The word there, noise, really means there's sounds, there's crying, there's voice. It actually has an emotional attachment to it. How many of you realize that just a moment ago somebody left the sanctuary? You looked over there, you heard it, you heard the noise. Did it, in some ways, kind of break your concentration? Isn't it interesting in understanding the prophecy that's happening here in the exceeding great army, or the understanding of provision-based living, the first thing that happens is noise. And it says, well, I can't do that if it's going to be noisy. Can I just tell you one thing? If it's that easy to knock you out of the spirit, you weren't very deep. Come on, think about it. If it has to be perfectly quiet and no disruptions. Isn't that the picture of shallow Christianity? I think it is, personally. By the way, it's why most of the church is not operating in provision-based living, because they can't stand the noise. There was a noise, and suddenly... Now, see, I love this. If you're going to build a body out of dry bones, and you didn't expect the rattling, what is it going to sound like when these bones start to come together? Bone to its bone. And why do you say suddenly? Suddenly I heard this. Why, were you surprised? By the way, when I read this, I see us. How many people are surprised when it actually starts to happen? Suddenly. That's why I'm not a big testimony person. I know some people get a lot out of testimonies. But you know what I hear when somebody gives a testimony? The thing I prayed for that I didn't think would happen, God met me in grace, and now I'm really surprised that it happened, so I want to tell you about it. What were you expecting? Obviously you weren't expecting for it to happen. Or you wouldn't be surprised by the noise. You can't believe the number of people have been noisy about this message. See, they still want me to give them permission to pray for their needs. You don't need my permission to pray for your needs. Go ahead and beg God for what He's already done all you want. There was a noise and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Ask yourself the question, is it time for the exceeding great army yet? Things have changed, right? The bones came together. It's starting to look like something, but it's not time for the exceeding great army. Those bones can't move yet. Verse 8, indeed as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, muscles. Can you imagine honestly watching this and seeing the tendons flying through the air, attaching themselves? There is no better movie than this kind of stuff with God. This is the coolest stuff. This is a movie worth watching twice. Because the first time you didn't know it was coming, the second time you're going to watch this. You know, have you ever done that with a movie? I watched a Bruce Willis movie one time, and he launched a patrol car over an embankment of a toll booth and flew it right into a helicopter. And I went, cool, rewind that. See, now that I know what's going to happen, and by the way, he jumps out of the moving car. Wow! It's worth rewinding over. Let's rewind this. God caused the bones to come together. Well, I told him they were dead and they were dry, and this ain't never going to work. You know what that preacher's saying? It is never going to work. It's just a bunch of noise. It's rattling. Oh, look there. They got their bones all together up there. They're talking about it. And look at that. They've got a bone to bone, and now there's stuff flying through the air. Muscles and stuff. Did you know that we are thrilled beyond belief that you have skin on? Because you are one ugly dude without skin. Anybody ever seen that plasticized thing? What do they call that thing that where they've taken the skin off and the human body thing that's been at the museums and stuff? It's awesome, but isn't that sick? When you see them muscles and stuff. And by the way, whoever died and gave their body to that, it wasn't me. I don't look like that on the inside. Some of my muscles gotten so big that gravity's called it to fall. Verse 8, sinews, flesh, and skin. We need the supporting structure that holds the bones together. We need the muscles that hold the bones together and give them the power to move. But we need the skin as a covering to hold it all together. And still, it can't move. Because now what we need is in verse number 9. We're verse number 8. But there was no breath in them. It became clearly evident. Are you seeing the process here? In the midst of all of this provision stuff, unless we cooperate, all we're doing is asking the dry bones of our life to be an exceeding great army without allowing for the process that it takes to get to this place. And I will tell you, as a church, I believe that we are in the muscle and sinew process. Okay? Stuff is coming together. The Arnold Schwarzenegger of spiritual bodybuilding is taking place. And soon, God will stretch a covering over us. And then He'll say, prophesy breath. And all of a sudden, you will not be able to stop the exceeding great army from moving. Can you make a difference? I mean, I love technology, and I love military technology. I was outside of a football stadium once, and they had one of them Abrams tanks there. By the way, they run on a turbine. They whine. You want this thing to make lots of noise, you know? And it just goes, hee! I'm thinking, it's kind of a sissy tank. So I walked up to the guy that was by it. I said, tell me about this tank. And he pointed across. He said, see that big building up there? I said, yeah. He said, see that one window up there? The one with the light on? I said, yep. If you were standing there holding up your program, I could shoot this tank at you and hit the program. Wow. It makes new meaning to exceeding great army when you see what God is trying to produce and then you realize what His function is. He's going to send you out into a world full of more dry bones. He's going to say to you, teach them how to become an exceeding great army. Teach them. Show them. Call the bones together. So we're all in a process. If you don't like muscle development, which most of us don't, by the way, for those of you who are wondering if I'm going to give a great exercise story, no, I'm going to hold them inside right now. But I'm telling you, they are running in my head right now. Okay, I'll give you one. When I was coaching, one of the things that we considered as coaches to be a good service, a good practice, is when somebody puked along the floor. You worked them so hard that we went, yes! Somehow or another, that made people better basketball players. That process of developing muscle. So I tell you that to close with this. There's going to be some puking on the floor. It's not going to be fun. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to try to move when we don't have the covering completely developed. We're going to whine and complain. No, forgive me, Lord. We shouldn't whine and complain about the muscle building process that we're in. And when you see somebody puking, you can tell them it'll sure be better tomorrow. Those of you who have the existence of an impossible problem, I've just taught you how to survive and thrive with an impossible problem. But it involves calling the dry bones together, building the muscle, accepting the covering. Can I tell you something about the covering? I just got this prophetic thing on me all day today. Come by my house today if you'd like a little bit more of this. No, don't. I think I'll... Some of you people would do it. If you don't embrace the covering that God gives you, you will never be released into the exceeding great army that God has for you. Some of you will get that. But part of the covering is the church and the leadership and the structure that He's given you. I will tell you that if you want to be a part of the exceeding great army, You need to be in church. I get nothing out of you being here. Zero. But you get everything God has for you when you're here. You understand? You want to be an exceeding great army? Come build your muscles. Come accept the covering that God has and then prophesy the breath into you. Because God is building an exceeding great army. He's already made the provision for it. Amen? Stand with me, would you please? Father, in Jesus' name, Your Word is clear, it's understandable, and we accept it today. We accept the process that we're in, Father, and we thank You today that as we recognize, we don't recognize the painful process, we recognize the end result. This is an exceeding great army that You are producing, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Our phone number is 970-359-2424, and our website is newlifeeckley.com. Thank you for listening, and please feel free to share this material with others. Our main service begins Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and we hope to see you at New Life Christian Center.